Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Very excited to have singer-composer Christine Amory and New Age instrumentalist David Lanz with us on this episode of the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be with you, Ken. Yeah, thank you.
Let me start right with the intro. Christine, do you prefer to be introduced as singer-composer? I've seen you mentioned as vocalist, as soprano, as songwriter. What's your preference?
Singer-composer, I think, definitely. Okay. Yeah.
How about you, David?
How would I like to be referred to?
I had introduced you as New Age instrumentalist.
Yeah, that's fine. And there's a lot of, you know, people that refer to me as a pioneer of New Age. I had the very first New Age album in Billboard magazine back in the late 80s. So I've been kicking around and done 30, 40 records. And so, you know, I'm kind of entering, I hate to say it, but other people call it the, you know, legend status of musicians. After you're around long enough and you don't overdose or go somewhere else, yeah, that's kind of what happens.
Pioneer of New Age music. It must be, I don't know if daunting is the right word, but to be somebody who is at the forefront, who's credited with creating a new genre of music. I'm sure that's not what you set out to do.
No, not at all. You know, it seems like if you go back and you listen, solo piano has become just amazingly thick with you know, pianists and releases. And but back in the day, George Winston kind of started it, and then there was me and Peter Cater, and there was a few other piano players, and that was pretty much it. You know, that was in the early 80s. I have a lot of people. I can hear the music. I can tell that just my style has been influential, as has, you know, especially George Winston's style to the kind of the contemporary pianists.
And I had read somewhere, this is one of those things that you read, and I'm lucky that I have you here and I can ask if it's true, that you at least used to like to refer to it by another name, heavy mellow.
Yeah. New and improved age, heavy mellow. Yeah. So there's just, you know, just to kind of keep it light and not too serious, because some people in this genre, and well, some people just in general, musicians, take themselves pretty seriously. And it can be serious, but I mean, come on, you know, it's nice to kind of make light of life.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. And Christine, you don't get labeled as a pioneer, but your first album, Notes from a Journey, was Best New Age Album of the Year from the Independent Music Awards. That's not too shabby.
Yeah,
that was very impressive.
It's a big surprise. And I didn't really choose to be in the New Age category, but I guess the way I heard the music, and with my producer Alex Salzman, we created it New Agey, and therefore I guess I was labeled New Age, and I was pretty good about it, and it was super cool to win an award, you know, for your first album. So
New Age is kind of one of those catch-all phrases, really, you know. If people say you play jazz, I mean, how many styles are crammed into jazz? You go from Dixieland to fusion, you know, so there's and bebop and smooth jazz. And, you know, so it's, and New Age is kind of the same thing. And
yeah, it's a casual. Does anything from yoga meditation music, you know, and just a few sounds, and then nature sounds, and all up until full orchestral, like Vangelis, you know, or Evangelis, I suppose you say in the
right,
US.
Right.
And Yanni.
Yeah. So it's kind of a wide open genre. We lately just kind of refer to ourselves as kind of classical crossover.
Yeah, from our latest album. Yeah,
from our latest recordings.
There's something about the music industry that they really like to put artists in a box, and they have to know what it is that you do and where you fit on their charts, and then you better stay there, or
you get
and you both have recorded such a wide variety of music that it's hard to say that that's just new age, from Whiter Shade of Pale to Beatles songs to songs from Broadway to classical pieces, and to say all of that is just new age is almost kind of silly.
Yeah,
it's silly. It's sad too, because when you try to attract new listeners, you know, people decide what genre they like, and that's what they look for, and that those are maybe the stations that they choose to tune into. And then you won't be played on that station because you're already labeled as a certain genre artist. Or, I mean, I find that very much, because I have done stuff all the way from chill, yes, as you say, to Broadway, and then new agey things as well. But I guess, what do? Yeah. You like different genres, and you do the music you like to listen to yourself. So
yeah, our buddy David Arkenstone, who I kind of started with, again, with a label called Narada back in the 80s, he's out now touring, and he's got a string quartet. He's doing very, contemporary minimalistic classical music. And he's also known lately, he does a lot of music for games. These are, you know, these video games. And he's kind of, you know, the same way, he likes to think of himself more as contemporary classical, but he's got his foot in a lot of different little pools of genres. And, you know, that's just how it goes.
That's one of the things that I really love about Christmas music, is that it's one of the few, if not only, areas where all genres are acceptable. You can have Johnny Cash, and you can have Gwen Stefani, and you can have Brett Eldridge, and you can have David Lanz and Christine Amory, and you can have all of this stuff together, back to back to back, and nobody will say anything. It's fine. Yeah,
we love that.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, you can have The Ventures, you know, they did a great record.
We love that. We noticed that our spins definitely go up, because all of a sudden you reach all those people that, you know, that, like I said before, that they didn't think or decide to listen to one particular genre, but all of a sudden your music has been added to, you know, playlists that are, like you said, a catch all. So you get new listeners from that. And gotta love that.
And hopefully when they're listening to your new songs, they like the way you sound, and they check out your other music too. And you guys have collaborated on a couple of new Christmas singles. Christmas music isn't anything new for either of you. David, you had the Christmas Eve album in the mid-90s. You both collaborated on Forever Christmas seven or eight years ago, which is a great album. If anybody hasn't listened to that, find it right now. You'll love it. It's a terrific mix of original stuff and classics that you love. What led you both to, especially since I think this was, Christine, I think this was your second album. What led you to go down the Christmas music route then?
Yeah. It was my second album, but I was always a romantic. And for me, I grew up in Norway, and I didn't really particularly like the snow other than Christmas. And for me, Christmas was very romantic, to be, you know, go to church and it would be snowing big white petals. And I was just beautiful, crisp and white, and just lots of love and light. And I always loved Christmas music. It's something joyful and positive about it. So when David suggested, oh, let's make some music, you know, we just decided that Christmas was the right way to go.
Yeah, and I kept telling Christine, I said, well, if you're going to continue to be an artist, people at some point almost expect every artist to put out their Christmas album. I mean, look at Neil Diamond. Yeah. God bless him. He's Jewish, you know, and he's doing Christmas music. So that was part of the motivation. It was just that we wanted to make a statement that would, you know, be fresh and come out every year. And like you said, it's a nice blend of classic carols and a lot of music that we wrote ourselves that we were hoping to expand the genre a bit.
And we keep doing it. We just released last year Silent Night and new version of ours of that. And this year, Mary, Did You Know, our version.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you also have, I think you call it Silent Night Redux this year.
Yes, kind of, we do.
What's the difference between that one and the version that you released last year?
It's shorter. It was a radio.
It's a radio edit.
Yeah, it was the song itself. The original song, I think, is over 5 minutes. And it kind of puts you in a zone. But sometimes for radio, you don't want people to fall asleep while they're driving.
No. I want people to, not while they're driving, but I mean, I love the original version, but the thing is that we needed, to do some promotions for radio, and we had to be under a certain length, and therefore we just made sure we cut the second verse, but otherwise it's pretty much the same.
It gave us a chance to kind of remix it and remaster it and kind of, you know, brighten it up a bit. So we're happy with the result.
Yeah.
This is a song that also appeared on Forever Christmas, and it was a song on your Christmas Eve album, David. What led you to revisit this one?
Oh, was it my decision? I think it was mine. I always wanted to do Silent Night.
Well, Christine was thinking, when we did the Forever Christmas album, she picked two songs in particular. One was her mother's favorite, Oh Holy Night, and she knew that my mother's favorite was Silent Night.
Yes.
And so that was kind of our...
But we did that on the first album, but we redid it. And the reason was that I felt that I needed to do it differently and slower. That's how I always heard it. And on our first Christmas album, we had a more, up-tempo version of it. And I just wanted to make it slow and, soft and romantic.
Yes. Soaring.
Yeah.
Angelic.
And this one also features David Arkenstone that you mentioned earlier. Was this the first time that he appeared on one of your songs?
Well, for Christine and myself, David and I had an album back in the day called Convergence, where we collaborated on a song, and then the label kind of cherry-picked songs from our catalogs and put it together, made it look like it was an album, a duet. It really wasn't. But we had interacted a bit. But
it's the first one that that David here with me did with the other David. We had David Arkenstone produce it, and he made it beautiful. And
it was
the first collaboration.
Yeah, we just together. As we put the arrangement together. Actually, I said to Christine, I said, "Okay, who would you pick to produce this?" And I had David in mind, and she said David Arkenstone. So it was like, okay, that's perfect. And what was nice, Ken, it let us. It was a very successful collaboration, and at the same time, we were in the beginning stages of composing and putting together a brand new recording, this Lettera de Amore, the Letters of Love album. And we sent some of that music to David, and he was excited about that. So it kind of opened the door to us continuing to collaborate and
create a full album.
Create the full album, right?
Yeah.
And he was also on the other side of the glass, so to speak, for Mary, Did You Know, right?
Yes, we sent it to him, and he did some nice textural things, orchestral touches.
We had two producers for Mary, Did You Know. First, we had David Arkenstone put his magic to it, and then we had Kurt Bester as well, and all of his people. And we think it became a fabulous version of it. We love it.
Kurt is very well known in the western part of the U.S., particularly in Salt Lake City. He does lots and lots of arranging for people there and in Europe, and quite a very talented musician and composer in his own right, besides being a great orchestrator. And Kurt and I were old friends, and I thought he would be a great one to touch, to add some real strings and add the kind of live orchestral element. And David's contribution is always more in the box, so to say, electronically and using synths and such.
Now, Mary, Did You Know is something of a new classic. I think they call it a modern classic. It's been around for about 30 years. What inspired you to pick that one?
Well, we met this cool dude called John Rison, kind of by chance. He's He is great to work with. He has a lot of connections. And he suggested, how about doing a duet? And I was thinking, yeah, why not? I mean, such a fab voice. And so I thought, okay. And, you know, it's summer. So then you think, okay, Christmas. You're going to do something for Christmas because it's summer. How you think as an artist.
Right.
And I thought, well, what could I do? What could I do? And I remember, Mary, did you know? And all of a sudden it just came to my head. Got to be that one.
Yeah, I'd only heard it a few times, but it always struck me as being a beautiful piece. So we really wanted to kind of put our own spin on it and do some things differently. What's kind of interesting, the big hit, of course, was from the Pentatonix, and the man who mixed and mastered our album, prior to this, the Lettre di Amore, was Bill Hare, and Bill was the one that got the Grammys for doing the same for Pentatonix.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a small world.
And need to mention John Ryson too, because we made a duet out of the song, and I think it's successful. And
yeah,
great guy, great voice.
For anybody who's listening who says, John Ryson, that name sounds familiar. Where do I know him from? It's probably from America's Got Talent.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, he made kind of a big splash there with what's the name of the group that did the special effects?
Oh my God, don't catch me today. I'm under the weather.
Anyway, there's some, they're called Deep something, and they turned a trio of singers and made it look like
we're both under the weather, and we're getting older.
It made it look like the three, you know, Simon and his two cohorts. It made it look like they were the ones singing this Nessun Dorma, very famous.
Oh, yeah.
Paparazzi, very famous.
Yeah, recently. Yeah.
Yeah, and John was one of the singers, and there were two other guys. So he became well known as being one of the guys. Deep Fake, I think, was the name of this group that did it. And then later, like the next following week, they did the same thing with another singer, and they turned him into Elvis Presley. On and on and on.
One of the other songs I have to ask you about is Oh Holy Night. Not a new single. This was on the Forever Christmas album, and the video on your YouTube channel, Christine, over a million streams. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that video on YouTube, there are three of them that have more than a million. One of them is nearing 7 million. It's not on my channel. It's on a friend of mine because she created the video. And the two that you will find on my channel both have more than a million. Almost one of them and closer to, and I was amazed, and I felt like, oh my God, people love our version. And I was, of course, proud of it because it's how I heard Oh Holy Night. It was one of my mother's favorite songs from church, and I really wanted to do that song the way I thought she would have loved to hear it. She passed away a few years ago. So that song is very special. It was always special to me. I'm so happy people love it.
The thing that really jumped out at me about the numbers, and I know it's not all about the numbers, but over a million streams for Oh Holy Night, is that this is a song for the most part that traditional radio just doesn't touch. And I don't know if it's if it's the religious aspect, which I'm guessing that's probably what it is, but people love this song. I get so many requests for different versions of Oh Holy Night. And as an artist recording this is a big song. And many have come before you who have done this. And people get weird about songs like this because you've got to do it right or you're going to hear about it. Did any of that creep in as you're getting ready to record this song?
No, I was just thinking about my mother, actually. No, I never thought of that until after I released it. And I got, you know, like almost all positive comments on it. But then once in a while, there were that odd comment that said, oh, no, this is not how you do Oh Holy Night.
Right.
Or it's not supposed to be like this. Or, you know, no, it needs to go faster. People have their own opinion, I guess, and you cannot please them all. But, you know, it's what it is.
Yeah.
Most people seem to love it. So that's, you know.
It's funny. Songs like Oh Holy Night and Silent Night and even Mary Did You Know, a lot of people treat these as like they're some kind of fragile, sacred thing. And you have to do it exactly right or they get mad. And it just amazes me that, you know, this is a Christmas song that the artist obviously loves. Why react that way? Nobody does that to Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe people have memories from childhood, and it's supposed to be a certain way. And Christmas is traditional, and maybe the only or the few times a year that people go back to their traditions and to their roots, and they want things a particular way. I think some people have a hard time facing changes. People like feel comfortable in what's normal to them, and you know, then again, traditional might be it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty close, I think. Just don't listen to Mariah Carey's version.
No, don't say that. I like
well,
Mariah's
I mean, it's great,
version.
But I mean,
it's very different, you know. But it's different. It's like, you know, you have one song for that occasion and that party, and then you have the other song for the other occasion, the other party.
Yeah, right. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
You can't please everybody.
No, you cannot please everybody. And I don't know why people think that things has to remain the same. You have to evolve, and you have new people, you know, and new singers and new composers and new ways of doing things. And if you don't like the new stuff, it's okay. You're free to go back and listen to what you're used to. But don't always throw comments around, because people kind of love that. There are a lot of internet trolls out there.
Yeah.
I know. Well, you just got to ignore it and keep going.
Now, you guys had the new album earlier this fall and the two Christmas singles this year, the new ones. And I hate to ask, but I'm all about the Christmas music. Is there any more Christmas music on your agenda, maybe for next year?
Well, actually, there is something that we would hope would be played all year round, but maybe particularly for Christmas, we have created our own version of Ave Maria. We're using the same Latin prayer, but with full orchestra and a boys choir. And this got to be one of my favorite songs David and I have created together, I think. And we're just about halfway finished producing it. Very much looking forward to this.
Yeah. So we're just waiting to kind of get the nod from it. It's a very famous boys choir. We won't mention them by name just because that's not
We have a few on the radar.
Yes.
We sent out requests. So now we're just waiting to find the right choir. And once we get them, we're going to do a recording and we're all set to go. Hopefully release maybe February, March.
Yes.
So 2023 is just around the corner. What else is coming up for you? Anything that you can talk about?
Well, I'm always writing music. So I kind of have a whole little stash of piano compositions. And I'm kind of toying with the idea of going with two of the most embraced songs from our last album were two instrumentals that I did with Charlie Bisharat, a great violinist, and Cameron Stone, an awesome cellist, the three of us. So I've kind of cherry-picked through my, I don't know, I have so many songs.
Yeah, he's just waiting for my approval now.
Yeah, that's right. And, so that's kind of what I'm thinking of, like to either release a single or maybe do...
We'll do something instrumental again, because it seems to be something that's widely and highly embraced by a lot of people, you know, and.
Yeah. The instrumental thing is it's very popular because it fits into people's lifestyles as foreground or background, helps them to study, helps them to sleep. It's kind of a nice, like a security blanket, I think, for people to have this kind of music. Whereas vocal songs can kind of grab you by the heart or, you know, by the emotions. And sometimes it's more.
It leads you more into a particular, you know, state of emotion, maybe because of the words. Sometimes if it has lyrics, we're also thinking of doing maybe some more duets. That's something we've been talking about. Now, maybe David, I should never thought of that. Maybe you should sing with me.
I gotta be me. No. Sorry. Anyway.
What's the best way for people who are listening to keep up with you? Is it your website, social media?
For me, it's definitely social media. I try as much as I can. I'm so busy because we've got 5-year-old twin girls. But in between all of that and renovating our house, I always try to Twitter something. I tweet and I go on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. David is definitely on Facebook. And, of course, we have our websites where we try to put things up. That's new.
Yeah, and the websites, people can, they can contact us if they want to send
a
private message and get a response from us.
Oh, definitely. On social media as well, you can do the same.
You can do the same.
Yeah.
So, and I'm guessing that on your websites, there are probably links to all your social media places.
Yes.
Yes, there is. There is. And there's, music samples and videos. And it's a nice way to maybe get to know us a bit if you want to know more about what we do.
Okay. I'll make sure I put links for both of your websites in the show notes for this episode. So anybody who's listening can click and check you out.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Well, thanks so much for spending time with us today. This was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to more music. And everybody listening, go check out the new singles, Mary Did You Know and Silent Night.
Thank you so much for inviting us. It's fabulous. We love Christmas music and listen to it year round.
Well, thank you so much. This was a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thanks. The same.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Holy Days.
Merry Christmas to you both.
Yes. All right.
And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. Anytime you're ready for Christmas music, we're ready for you. Just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. You can also grab our app in the Google Play Store and take the music with you wherever you go. And as far as this podcast goes, we're now on over 30 podcasting sites. So if you didn't find us on your favorite today, just search for the Sounds of Christmas next time you go there, and I'm pretty sure you'll see our tree. Then you can subscribe and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.